Okay, let's begin our discussion of Yerushalmi Shabbos Daf Samach. We've reached the 60th Daf. That means we've been doing Shabbos for 2 months, Baruch Hashem. As we continue here in Perek HaGadol, going through the Malachas of Shabbos. As we know, Ayin Gimel in the Bavli, Nun Gimel in the Yerushalmi, the Mishnah relating to all of the 39 Malachas. So we've discussed Choresh and Zoreya was yesterday's discussion. What are the Avos and what are the Toldos? And yesterday on Nun Tes Mem Beis, we spoke about different processes where various Malachas come up. We spoke at the last point relating to Schita, squeezing out some of the liquid from cooked food, from pickled food. Remember, we didn't mention it, but Schita, really, Rabbeinu Tam points this out in Tosfos and Shabbos, that there are two Schitas. There's Schita of Dash and the Schita of Libun, right? Schita of Dash is what we're talking about here. That means what you want, what's squeezed out. You're squeezing fruit and the like, squeezing these foods, like if you want the oil, if you don't want the oil. But that's all Schita within Dash, which is the Malach of Threshing. There is a Schita, though, of course, of Libun. Schita of when washing, part of the laundering process, the three stages of the laundering process, each are Aser Daraisa on Shabbos. Any one of the three, and the way that they washed laundry 1,000 years ago is the same exact way that they wash laundry today. Just nowadays, it just happens in a machine. In the olden days, you had to do it manually. And that is, there's the soak cycle, right? You put the stuff in the, you just touch the liquid to the garment, and that's the soak cycle. Then the agitation cycle, right, where you shake it around, that's the loud cycle where the machine starts shaking. And then you like you push it down, back and forth. And then the spin cycle, which is squeezing out and getting the liquid out. That's part of the process of cleansing when it's full of dirty liquid. So that's not, that makes my shirt dirty. But once I squeeze it out, that's part of the cleansing process. That's schita. That third process is schita of libun. And that also is usser, and that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the schita of dash. So, and the last point we made, I just didn't clarify it enough. That's what we made was just, the Gemara said, how do you know that these last two shitas, Rav and Yochanan argue? Because we said they use the different lashonos, as we mentioned in Hilchos Shabbos. Chayiv means chayiv, daraisa. Usser means darabanan, and mutter means mutter, lechadchila. And that's why the Gemara just said, Rabbi Ba, I'm sorry, not Rabbi Ba, the one who answer the question was saying Rabbi Chizkiya said, does Rav argue Rabbi Yochanan? And the answer was, yeah. Rabbi Mana said, how do you know? So he answered, because Rav says Aser and Mutter, and Rabbi Yochanan says Chayiv and Pater. Okay, so that's what you see, that there are whole different levels of Chiyuv regarding that. Okay, we continue now. Four lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Ba Bar Mamal. Batzal Sherisku. If one has an onion that one is crushing up, one is crushing up to partake of the Adin, so why are you crushing it up? Imli tain tam, if your kavana is to sweeten the onion, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, imnis kavain le machko ulatakin ha ochel aser, right? If it's somehow tikin ochel, so that would be aser, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, da ashvuye ochlahu. That is creating, right? That's making it a food, and therefore that will be aser. Interesting what malacha that is that tikun mana, is that makaba patish. You're using one, usually by food preparation, you're not like creating anything, but here, by crushing this onion, maybe it's not edible beforehand, and now making it edible by taking out this liquid. Anyway, that will be aser. Vimhosi sarfa mutar, but if you're doing it because it's dangerous to eat some of this saraf, some of this liquid sap in the onion, and you're moving it because of sakana, then that would be mutter, because you're just doing it so you don't get hurt by whatever part of the onion is in here that used to be hurt. Again, remember, we might not exactly understand what dangerous part of the onion is today. Tosfos, I think, in Moed Katan already talks about the concept of nishtanu hativin, right? Sometimes you'll read a Gemara, or Tosfos already says, I forgot which direction it was. It was some type of fish that was dangerous, I think. The Gemara says, there's a type of fish that's dangerous. And, you know, pikuach nefesh. And Tosfos says, we eat that fish all the time. I don't know what the Gemara is talking about. Tosfos says, sometimes nature changes over the centuries and over the years. Nishtanu hativim. I want us to be aware of that. We don't always say that, but, you know, that could be, an approach in certain times. Okay. Rabbi Zeira b'shem Rav Huna, Snon Tomno b'melach levach lo yesheh. Another malacha that we haven't touched on yet. Snon, the radish one can tom no b'melach. You could dip it in salt. Ubavad shalo yishab, as long as one does not keep it in there for a very long time. And that is the malacha of ibud, the malacha of tanning, the malacha of salting, right? The malacha that one doesn't think that comes up, you know, tanning. Where is tanning coming up in my, I'm not tanning any hides, right? Tanning is the process of taking animal skin and making it into leather. So I'm not doing that. But the Gemara says that's related to the molcho, because you soak it in a very salty substance, and that's part of the malacha. So soaking anything in a salty substance in order to change its essence, that will be a problem. So pickling on Shabbos, putting cucumbers into very heavy pickling brine would be a malacha. That would be a malacha of molcho. So are you allowed to salt your salad on Shabbos? Allowed to put salt on the salad? So we say, and the poskim say, if it's any type of small amounts and you're eating it right away, that would be called derech achila. That's not salting. But yeah, if I have a lot of, I want to serve, I don't know, cucumber salad, and I'm going to put my cucumbers in a salt brine Friday night in order to serve my shalosh shodes, that could be a serious problem. That could be a ma'abe. That's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. Shin Chaf Aleph. In the Shulchan Aruch there talks about dine tolesh, tochein, v'dine tikune machal o ma'abed v'lash. Right? The Shulchan Aruch even says, ein osin me melach harbe b'yachad el-aseis l'tocha kvashim. You can't make a very large amount of salt water, because it looks like, that's midir abanan, because it looks like you're getting it ready for the melacha. Right? What happens when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? Rabbi Avraham Shabbat, talk about making the salt water before Yantif, before even Shabbos, because making salt water could be an issue. If you're only making a little bit, each one, then we say it's okay. We're going to make one little bowl. But sometimes you're going to make, I don't know, you have a lot of people at your Seder, you're going to make a couple of pitchers worth, so that could be an issue. So, Eino Zemi Melech Harbi B'yachal L'Asein Tocha Gvashim, Mishub D'Dami L'Ibud, Aval Yachol Asos B'Menu Ma'at, L'Asein Tocha Tavshil. Right, and you could put a little bit in, a little bit. One can make. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Gimel, Aser Limloach Chatichos Tznon Arba O Chamish Biyachad. One is not allowed to salt, dip into salt, 4 or 5 pieces of radish together. My father liked to eat radish with his soup on Friday night. I don't know, a European thing. But yes, they take pieces of radish, but to dip it in salt a lot, Mishum Shenire Kikovesh Kvashim. Right? Because it looks like you are, you know, pickling for, you know, to save. Vakovesh Aser says an issue. We assume most of you shown him say Kovesh, the Isser here is Ma'abed. Some say there's a principle in Yoredeya called Kovesh Kimavushal. Pickling is like cooking. So is this like cooking? That's the language of the Shulchan Aruch. Vakovesh Aser, Bebrei Shehu, Kimavashel. It's Kimavashel. Elamataba Kalachas Lavadavokla. Dip each one in separately and eat it. You could dip your, if you like to dip your, you know, your cucumber or whatever it is into salt. Okay, one at a time. One at a time. Mishnah Berurah. Dishakal chaticha munachas levada. Ein b'zeh mishum kovish kavashim. Or if they're separate on the plate. V'gam lo mechzi kema'abed. Avok shemolcham biyachad. Afilu daito lochlam tekef. Lo lashosam b'milcham. So that would be a problem. Okay. That's the, again, one at a time is okay. We continue. Says that's this line of Reb Zeira in the name of Rav Huna. So once we quoted Reb Zeira in the name of Rav Huna, we quote another couple of statements regarding begadim, clothing of related to Hilchos Shabbos from Reb Zeira in the name of Rav Huna. Kela bebeis ha'uman. What happens if somebody gets their clothing back from the dry cleaner or from the tailor, I should say? Lovshan. You're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. What's the issue here? So some say it has to do with, well, if you get it back on Shabbos, do you assume you did malacha on Shabbos? But we're going to go with the second shot of the Karban Eidah, which is you got it back. You're not sure if it fits you. You're not sure if it fits you exactly. So you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos, because maybe when you put it on, you'll realize maybe your shoulders have gotten a little wider since the last time you had clothing made by this tailor. And all of a sudden, you're going to rip the shirt when you put it on. You don't have to worry about that. That's a Davrshena Miskavein, and, you know, it's a good chance it might not happen. Right? Kelev Esa Uman Lov Shad, you can wear it. Vimiskari Iskari. If it rips, it rips. Meaning it's not a psikresha that's vada going to happen. You know, it might happen, but as long as you don't think, if you know for sure that you've been working out and your shoulders are much bigger and they made it small, okay, then it's vada going to rip, then you can't put it on. But if not, vim yiskara, yiskara. One statement. Reb Zeira, again, that's Dav Shimon Miskavein. We pass on like Rabbi Shimon that says Dav Shimon Miskavein is mutter. Reb Zeira, Reb Shem, Rav Huna. Next. talking, and all of a sudden, your begadim, I don't know, went into the York by, and there are thorns. There are thorns in your beged, and you want to take out the thorns. So, are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, harizem mefashron b'makom tzina. You're allowed to remove the thorns, but only, we'll go with the carbon edus pshat, and most mefarshim, you could do it in a private place, not in a public place. Because, why? It's carbon eda, shalo yira adam, shenira kimisakin. Maybe the beged is unusable now. There are so many thorns in it, you can't put it on. So it's not really fixing, but you're making something unusable into usable. So that's nira kimisakin, we find that sometimes. Right? Putting on, let's say, the post can talk about, what about blowing up the air in a tire of a stroller? Right? Let's say a stroller, the tire got flat. A wheelchair got flat. You're allowed to blow up the air in the tires. So the post can say, if it's usable, there's still some air left and it's still usable right now, then you can blow it up more. Because you're not being misaki in anything. It's usable right now. You can use it more. But if it's totally dead, if all of them are dead, then that's tikkun. Because you're taking something that is unusable and you make it usable. So here, you take it if it's full of thorns, so it's nireh. It's mamish misakin, not a kaparigim. I'm saying nira. That's what the carbonator says. Nira kimisakin. Obavach shalo yikra, as long as you make sure that you don't rip it. You can't rip the beged as you take off the thorns. The Pnei Moshe here is a different shot of what does it mean, tzina. Tzina means you're allowed to take the thorns off if they're the inside of the beged and it's not wearable. Right? Makam tzina. It's inside because it's going to hurt you. If you have the thorns, if the thorns on the outside, then it's not, it's maybe not as needed. And therefore, it's not as crucial to take them off. Maybe you might rip it, more of a chance. Okay. Some machronim say, according to the first shot, Shrafun is saying you could do it in a private place. We know there's a shita of Rav, quoted in the Bavli and Beitza Daf Yud, that Rav says, Kol makam she'asu mishamar esayin afilu b'chadri chadarim aser. Anything that's asu mishamar esayin, because people think that you're going to do malacha, you're not allowed to even do that in private. Afilu b'chadri chadarim aser. Like, for what was Rav talking about? What about hanging up soaking wet clothing on Shabbos? That's an issur d'rabbanan under certain circumstances. I was walking in the rain and my clothing got soaked. So I get to a house. I want to hang it up on Shabbos. I want to hang it up. So there's an issur d'rabbanan to hang it, but only within certain conditions. Number one, if it's really mamish dripping wet, if people would look at it and see it's dripping. Sometimes things are wet, but you can't tell us what unless you feel it. So that's not good enough. Only if it looks like it's dripping wet, number one. Number two, only hanging it in the place where usually clean clothing. What's the issur? The issur is people are going to think that you wash your clothes on Shabbos. So the only issur is only if you hang it in a place where you normally hang clean clothing. If you hang it on a doorknob, your shirt, or if you hang it on the back of a chair, you don't usually put your freshly laundered clothing on a doorknob or in the back of a chair. So that's not a problem. But if you put it on a hanger next to your washing machine, right, so then, and it's dripping wet, so it's aser, even b'chadri chadarim. Even if nobody's going to see it, even if it's a private in your house. So some say maybe there's a machlokas, Bavli Yerushalmi. Because the Bavli quotes Shitas Rav that says, anything that's aser b'shem ma'arasayin, you can't even do it private. And here, it says, whatever the issue is here, you're allowed to do it as long as it's a private. Right, sounds like, so it could be a machlokas, Bavli Yerushalmi, some point out. Okay, Amar Reb Zeir b'shem Rav Huna. Next statement of Reb Zeir b'shem Rav Huna. Nafal tidal begadav. What happens if I got some mud on my clothing? Or let's make it a little more lamaisa. I got some chalant on my clothing. Right? I'm eating. What do I do if I dropped a glob of chalant? Hare zem emarcho, biyado, achas. You could softly brush it off. That's not malabain. Just taking off the glob. Right? One has to be careful. Take off the glob. Something that fell on. You can't rub it very perfectly to try to, because that's already going to be cleaning. Like if you get down to the level where the chalant is touching the shirt, one has to be very careful. Again, to take off any mamashes, one can very carefully. But to rub it, so which would take off some of the stain, that's libun. Libun is not only with liquid, even without liquid. If I have a dirt on an, so that could be a problem. The Mefarshim point out, if the, whatever fell, the mud or the chalant is dry, and I'm going to start scratching it off, that could be tochein. That could be another malacha. Right, I'm grinding up something that's solid into small pieces. Again, but here it's a little moist, so no issue of tochein. Again, one has to be careful about that. Malabain is anytime, right, you're cleaning something. It's interesting. The Gemara, right, and the Shulchan Aruch points out that one is not, like I said before, about the libun process. One is not supposed to saturate a beged on Shabbos, because that's also part of the libun process. So what about drying your hands on a towel after Netilas Yadayim. By the time the eighth person uses it, it's pretty saturated, right? So what do you do? What do you do? So the post can say two reasons why that's not a problem. Number one, if it's so saturated that it's like libun, you're not going to use it to dry your hands, right? That's not, once it reaches that level, that's what Shlomo Zalman says. So you're allowed to dry dishes on Shabbos. Let's say you want to dry your dishes to, you're going to use, not for hachana, you're going to use it for later on Shabbos. So Shlomo Zalman says, yes, you can. Why? You might come to squeeze out the towel from the liquid. No, because the second that it gets so wet, we are nowadays, you know, you don't like wring out towels to reuse them, right? But if it gets wet enough that it's not going to dry anymore, you're just going to put it on the side. You're not going to reuse it, number one. The other heter is called derech lichluch, right? If your kavana, what you're doing is, you know, you're cleaning, you're soaking it in order to, as part of the cleaning process, okay. But here it's called derech lichluch, you're wiping. This isn't a cleaning motion. This is the opposite, a dirtying motion. Right? And therefore, derech lichluch, it's not the act. It's not the tzura of the malacha. Like we did yesterday, sometimes the kavana plays a role in the definition by certain malachas. So too here. Right? The Shulchan Aruch quotes that also by tzoveya. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, but the Radvaz argues in his Mako, Shulchan Aruch says, you know, let's say your hands, you had strawberries in the mutter way of eating strawberries. Let's say you're eating strawberries and your hands are all red. So you want to wipe your hands on a towel, but the towel is going to become red. Are you allowed to do that? So if you're using disposable towels and napkins and the like, so the post can say for sure that's mutter. That's mutter because it's just, you're not coloring anything. It's garbage. You can throw it in the garbage. What about a towel? What about cloth napkins? What about cloth napkins? Right? So is that an issue? So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, if I remember, it could be an issue. Right, one has to be careful when one eats tutim. When one eats, I think what is that? Shin Chaf? I think that's in Shin Chaf. Let me see if maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, end of Shin Chaf. Yesh mi sha'omer shehaochel tutim oshar peiros atzovim tzarech lizar shlo yiga biyadav tzvos bebegadav obavapa. Some say that if you eat strawberries or other colorful fruit, you have to be careful not to touch your colored hands on your begadav or on a napkin. Mishum soveya. But if you want to just dip your bread into, you know, red juice, there's no problem because ain't svia ba'ochlin. Fine. But the Mishnah Berurah here quotes from the Radvaz, I think it is, that some are mekel, yesh makilin, right, samachay with the sharatziyot, yeah, Radvaz v'chacham svi, yesh makilin b'chol zeh, kivishu derech lichluch, v'yesh lisbach aleh mecha, d'yef shalol izar b'zeh. That's why some posts can say, maybe it's better. It's a balance, you know. It might be kavod Shabbos to use cloth napkins in certain circles, but it's more kavod Shabbos not to violate chilul, right? That's also kavod Shabbos. So some say using disposable. Nowadays we live in a time where there are many nice disposable napkins, right? You could have one. We have weekday napkins and Shabbos napkins. You could have nice disposable napkins. So maybe that's a heeder in that direction. So whatever one does, one should ask their local posek. Okay, we could there's a little bit of libun, and that relates to the Kiskus that we spoke about. Next, Reb Zeira b'shem Rav Huna. Next statement of Reb Zeira, the name of Rav Huna had a lot to say about clothing on Shabbos. Hahein nina. This issue about nina, shaking out. What's shaking out? So I didn't go through all the details here, but it's discussed in the Bavli also about shaking out and folding begadim on Shabbos. So this also, in the days of old, it was really a mamasha tikkun of fixing clothing, of folding it on specific parts and hems and creases. So the post can speak about folding one's clothing. That's within the world of libun. Nowadays, really, folding clothing doesn't really change the beggar so much, unless one is very, very machmir, the point out, let's say, with the creases of pants. Take off your pants on Shabbos. You don't have to, like, throw it in a ball. But being so medactic for like 20 seconds to make sure it's exactly on the crease of the pants, maybe that's, you know, within this issue. Taking off a talis on Shabbos is a big discussion in the postkim. What do you do with your talis? You fold your talis on Shabbos. You fold it not exactly on the same lines. Some postkim say, there's l'shem mitzvah, it's not a problem. You're not doing, and others say, you do it. You don't have to throw it in, you don't have to roll it up into a ball, but, you know, just take it off and fold it not exactly on the lines. There's a Maharil that says, you know, right after Shabbos, you know, fold your talis, you know, on the lines and, you know, bend it in the exact way. I once heard a Dvar Musar about that Maharil. Because right after Shabbos, you have to remember Shalom Bayis, right? You're getting back into your house. Remember, you got to bend sometime. You got to bend. You got to fold. You got to fold and make sure you give in and be a Mevater. That's the message of the Maharil. Okay. Hahein nina bechadashari. If one person is doing it, then it's mutter, because it doesn't get to be so exact. Ubetlas aser, and three aser, because that's exact. Ubetarti tzricha, two, you know, tzarech in. Some say this is also, again, a certain type of beged, that if you stretched it very tautly, that really is like tikkun. So one person can't really stretch it himself. Three people stretching it out, that's a real tikkun. And two, I'm not so sure. Okay, so it's a different type of metzias that we have here. Hahein desachi, those who, again, bathe on Shabbos. Maybe this was pre the gzera, the gzera of not bathing in hot on Shabbos, and the minog of not even bathing in cold on Shabbos. So hahein desachi, in the early days, Rav Huna Rav Yehuda, you have to worry about drying yourself, you know, pat dry. Let's say even Bizman Azeh, where one goes to a mikvah, how do you dry yourself? Chad Amar, Hachin, Shari, Hachin, Aser. One opinion says, this is Mutter and this is Aser. What's this and this? Hachin, when you dry your whole body at once, it's Mutter, because, you know, not going to be so, get so much water in there and there's okshash of squeezing out. Vachin Aser. But if you dry limb by limb, that will be a problem. Vacharana Amar, Benkach, Ben, Hachin, Ben, Hachin, Aser. They're both Aser. Remember, the post can speak about, we had it earlier, about washing in the opposite direction. Washing is better to do limb by limb than to do the whole body. But here, drying is better to do the whole body than limb by limb, because the whole body, you're not going to be so careful with getting everything dry, but limb by limb would be worse. Rabbi Abba Bar Zmina, Ol Nischi Reb Zeira, one time Rabbi Abba Bar Zmina went to bathe with Reb Zeira, V'lo Shavke Avad, and he didn't let him do Lo Hachin to Lo Hachin. He didn't let him dry in either way. He didn't let him dry limb by limb, or he didn't let him dry, maybe made him drip dry. And in drip dry. The post can wonder that there's a Mishnah later on that sounds like you could pat dry yourself on Shabbos. So why wouldn't he have the Mishnah? The Mishnah later on here in the Yerushalmi, it's Kuf Yud Beis. Kuf Yud Beis. There's a Mishnah that talks about, drying. But okay. That's the story of the Amoram here. Naflu Mayim HaBagadav. What happens if water fell on the Begadim? Oh, as we said, squeezing out liquid from a beged could be looked at as a part of the cleaning process. So what happens if I get water? Am I allowed to do anything? My jacket is soaked. So am I allowed to do anything to the Rav Huna Rav Yirmiyah? Chad Amar, Minara Shari, B'machka Aser. One says, it's better to shake it off. Because shaking it off is not really doing such a good job. You just like shake the jacket. But if you wipe it, just getting all the water off, that will be a problem. And again, this is probably, it's talking about begadim that, let's say, I have a somewhat absorbent. Somebody has, let's say, a raincoat that is totally not absorbent, so the water is just on top of it. So it's probably less of an issue. But one says, so it's better to shake it. And the charana machalef. And the other one says, no, just the opposite. The opposite. It's worse to be mena'er. The Pnei Moshe explains, because when you shake, you can get off everything at once. That more is domet to melabein. But wiping it, it goes, you know, goes slower. Less comes off, so therefore it'll be better. If somebody spits and spits out saliva, so if one could absorb it in their beged, and there's no chash, it's just a little bit of saliva. Maybe you don't want to have it lying around. You don't think it's not a place where one could spit. Spitting in the days of the Gemara seems to be much more common. The Gemara talk about spitting during davening, spitting in front of you, spitting behind you. It seems to be more acceptable in public. Again, nowadays we can't fathom, you know, the spitting, but there are cases of spitting in the Talmud. So, Zesharokim Mavliya Buksu, so you put in the baguette, there's only a little bit of liquid. Rabba Bar Shim Rabchia Bar Ashi, is Pagan Rabchia Ruba Rab Shimon Barebi, Machlokas. Chad Amar, are you allowed to spit and then like step on it? So I guess maybe nobody sees it and it goes into the ground. So Chad Amar Rokik Vashaf, yeah. You could spit and then just kind of like step on it. For Charana Amar, no, in a Roki Vishav, you can't. Because when you step, you're kind of like smoothing the ground. And that would be like Malach of Choresh, like we discussed. Ain't no Rokik Vishav, right? You might be Mashve Gumos, or you're smoothing. Ma Pligi Bishem Sham Pisipes. And this is obviously, says the Gemara, only where there's no, it's not a stone floor, right? It's dirt. That's why it's a problem. Aval Yesham Pisipes Rokik Vishav. But if there's a stone floor, then there's no issue. No issue of smoothing. Period. The next line, there is no parallel line in the Bavli. Rakak v'hifrichto haruach. What if I spit in the air and the air took my saliva and it went with the wind and the wind separated it into different, I don't know, it went to different spaces. It took my saliva. That's the isser of winnowing. Chai mishum zareh. What's winnowing? Winnowing is when I throw up a whole group of grain and rocks, so the wind takes the light things and the heavy things falls to the bottom. So there's ochel and psoles. There's good and bad, But the Gemara says in Bavli that Zoreh is connected to the Malach of Borer. Zoreh, Borer, Merakeh are all connected. But here, the Yerushalmi seems to have a different idea of winnowing. Here, there's no good and bad. It's just separating. It's just taking my saliva and scattering it. Scattering something using the wind. That's what the Yerushalmi seems to say. It's Zoreh. And anything that is diminished and separated by the Ruach, Chayim Mishim Zoreh. Wow. Okay. It's a Yerushalmi. We would say, big deal. Nothing for me to worry about. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. What's the problem? The Ramah quotes this Yerushalmi. The Ramah quotes, look at the last line of Shin Yutes. Hagah. Harokeg baruach b'shabbos. If somebody spits into the air on Shabbos, v'haruach b'fazer harok, and the wind spreads the spit, chayev ishim zoreh. Where does he get this from? Parentheses. Yerushalmi periklal gadol. This is it. This is the only place in Chazal where you have such a thing. And the Ramah quotes, the Ramah did Yerushalmi. The Ramah quotes this Yerushalmi. That's what he says. Rabbi Kiva Eger right here on the Ramah. Rabbi Kiva Eger on Shulchan Aruch. Lo ra'inu mishachoshesh lazeh. I've never heard of this. I don't know why the rabbi quoted it. Kiva chinim eskavim l'cha. You just spit into the air. That's zoreh. That's zoreh. V'kol shekein ein zeh derech zoreh. You don't have any kavana for this, that the wind should scatter your spit. This is not what zoreh is about. So therefore, the Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, that shouldn't be a problem. The Bir Halacha here says, in the name of the Sefer Alfei Menashe, maybe when the Yerushalmi says chayiv, mishim zoreh, it doesn't really mean zoreh. It means you're chayiv for mavir dalet amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Nothing to do with zoreh. You're chayiv for zoreh. It's kind of like zoreh because the wind has taken it, but what it really means is dalet amos. And the Aruch HaShulchan says maybe there's a to'us sofer. The hay should really be a kuf, zoreik, right? Zoreik. You're for throwing, like throw something at dalet amos. It's like zoreh. So The Aruch HaShulchan suggests that that's the case. If you look right here, the Reb Chaim Gnievsky quotes this Bir Halacha in the name of the Alfei Menashe. I don't know who that is, but that is really a Mavir. But either way, it's a Chiddush Gadol, and Reb Kiva Eger says that it's not, they talk about this by spray deodorant. If you put spray deodorant in the wind, and like, is that like similar? You take something and you're scattering it in the wind. Either way, it's not an issue. Va borer. Okay, borer. We get up to borer. So we can spend a number of shiurim on borer. We just got to read today, and then we'll see how much time we have. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Yeshu borer tzroor es kol hayom ve'enam mischayev ve'yishu noto kegroger es miyam mischayev. Some there could be a case where you separate pebbles the whole day and there's no chayev. And maybe you could take out one pebble the size of a grogeris, and you are chayiv. Hey, chavida, what's the case? Hey, Yosef, I got bikri. It's a huge pile of wheat. Ubira, it's Rosh Kaliyar. You're taking out pebbles. Eino mischayiv, you're not chayiv. According to this Yerushalmi, we might not paskin this way. If there's still some psoles left, you're not chayiv. Even if you took out some psoles, if there's still a lot of psoles left, then you're not chayiv. Notal, you took yada grogeris, ubira, but what if you take in your hand, you take a couple of a weed in your hand, and there's one pebble in there. You take out one pebble, boom, you're chayef. Chayef. Wow. So again, there's a huge discussion by Boer. Is it about the mice of Brera, the act of separating, right? The psolos bitoch ochel, that's the problem. Or is it about tikkun ochlim? Is about the chefza. There's a balamor. The balamor says that Boer is a malach jenis yuch legufa, but you're chayef anyway because the Torah says you're chayef. Malach jenis yuch legufa, because what do you usually separate for? The good from, you're taking out something that you don't want, So, but Achronim say, no, what other Rishonim must hold, it's not a malacha shesuch legufa, right? The malacha is tikkun ochel. You're fixing the food. And that's shricha legufa. So that could be what the Yerushalmi is holding here, right? Because we're machmir. Even if you take out only some of the psolas, it's still a problem. But the Yerushalmi here says, if you take out only some of the psolas and some is left in, mutter. That's not borer. Okay. Rabbi Yonah. So now Rabbi Yonah is going to comment on the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Beitza that talks about borer on Yontif. Borer on Yontif is a little different than Borer on Shabbos. Borer on Yontif. The Mishnah says there that on Yontif, Beis Shammai says, what do? You take, same thing, Ochel. You take Ochel mito psolas. Borer Ochel v'Ochel. That's what Beis Shammai says. And Beis Hillel says, no, Borer kadarko. You take the bad from the good even. Right? Borer, but for Beis Hillel, the Gemara says maybe you do the less tircha. There's different rules of Borer on Shabbos or Yontif. So Rabbi Yonah asks, Osa kein b'Shabbos. What that Mishnah says in Beitza that you're allowed to do on Yontif, what if you did it on Shabbos? Al daiti de Beis Shammai, maushi yichayef. Beis Shammai says that you have ochel. Beis Shammai says on Yontif you're allowed to take the good from the bad as long as it's for immediate consumption. Would Beis Shammai say that you're not allowed to do that? Meaning, Beis Shammai would say even Ochel and Miyad would be Asar on Shabbos. Would you say that? So Amar Leir Rabbi Yosef, Olam Alo. Rabbi Yosef would say, sure, why not? Meaning what? Beis Shammai would say, how do you separate anything on Shabbos? You'd have to unmix the mixture. Right, instead of doing borer in a mutter way, so to speak, you'd have to somehow unmix the mixture, which hopefully we'll talk about at some point. Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, Beis Shammai would say what he allows on Yontif is asar on Shabbos, because after all, ilu asakein b'Shabbos al de Beis Hillel shemei nochayev. What does Beis Hillel say you're allowed to do on Yontif? You take the bad from the good, because that's usually less tircha. So according to Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel, what is allowed on Yontif is asar on Shabbos. So lachara so too. What's mutter for Beis Shammai on Shabbos is us on Yontif. Is Asar on Shabbos. V'hachachayiv. So Rabbi Yosef answers, yeah, what Beis Shammai says is, Mutter on Yantif should be Asar on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Mana, Yos Amar Rabbi Yonah Abba. No, my father Rabbi Yonah said it right. Lo Asya. Don't bring Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Don't compare the two. Ela Alda Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is separate. Beis Shammai by saying, you can take the good from the bad on Yantif. Lama. Why does he say you're allowed to take the good from the bad? Shehuter Mechal Bir Rabbi Yantif. V'lohuter Mechal Bir Rabbi Shabbos? Meaning, why are you allowed to take the good from the bad for immediate consumption? That's not an act of borer, right? We say borer, it's mutter, it's famous, the three conditions. Ochel miyad la'alter. Good from the bad, for immediate consumption, without a separating instrument. Why is that mutter? Because that's called derech achila. That's called the way you consume. So that's not a maisa borer, says the Gemara. So of course that's going to be mutter on Shabbos too. Not going to be any difference between Yantav and Shabbos. It's not called borer. Fine. What if you take food from food? Separate food from food. So, Chizkiya amar chayiv, Rabbi Yochanan amar potter. Chizkiya says you're chayiv. You're chayiv if you separate it for, right, the carbonate that says if you separate it for later. For lahaniach, what you don't want, right, Chizkiya says, and we might paskin this way, right, Chizkiya says, what you don't want, even if it's two foods, what you don't want is called psolas. And therefore, Chizkiya amar chayiv, Rabbi Yochanan amar potter. Rabbi Yochanan says no, if it's two foods, there's no borer. Mastisa pligal Chizkiya to Amar. The Brisa seems to be against Chizkiya because the Brisa says borer va'ochel borer miniach al shulchan. The Brisa says you can take food and leave it for later. It sounds like so. Isn't that showing that ochel and ochel is there is borer? Rabun barchia b'shem Rabbi Shmuel barav yislag. No tiftar shay orchem ochlem rishona rishona. No, that Brisa is not leaving it over for later. It's right now. You have a bunch of guests. Lahaniach means putting it in front of the guests. So it means nah for now. And therefore, there is no problem. Vahatani, one more minute. Vahatani, bilvach lo yavar es kol osu amin. We have another brisa that says, the only problem on Yantiv is separating the whole min. It must have came to Shabbos chayiv. If you did it on Shabbos, that would be chayiv. Mashma, only if you were borer the whole min. But if you only did part of it, it would be mutter. Again, against Chizkiya. Al daite de Chizkiya, she can have borer kedarko b'Shabbos chayiv. No. The diuk is, if you borer all of one type is asur on Yantif, because being borer even some of one type is asur on Shabbos. Let's say you have to read the brisa. Or al daitiz Rabbi Yochanan, he would read it differently. She can have borer kedarko b'makam acher chayiv. Because he would say, if you're borer kedarko, that on Shabbos, if you take the good from the bad, if you take the whole min for later, or birer kol min, right, the carbon eida quotes here, you'd still be chayiv achatas, meaning don't parallel Shabbos and Yantif. It's basically the way that both Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiya have to understand the brisa. Again, there's a lot more there. I'm not doing it justice, but just one more line. Al daiti the Chizkiya, according to Chizkiya, Chizkiya says even ochel from ochel is usser. Afilu igulim min igo igulin, afilu rimonim min go rimonim. Even pomegranates from pomegranates and dried figs from dried figs. How do you separate anything? Okay, I feel b'nei nosh, min go b'nei nosh. What about people from people? Once you say that it's ochel and ochel, so it can't be. There has to be some limit, the Gemara says, even according to Chizkiya. So we'll have to stop there. Maybe we'll start with that next time when we talk about ochel from ochel, big from small, small from big. We'll start with my kedun, Beth Hashem, next time. Yeah, we'll stop here.